Fran, this weekend was absolutely insane. The games were awesome. We got Sunday Night Football. And boy, let me tell you, Bruce Arians giving me a birthday gift because I get to go at it again at that clown, Fran.
We got the absolute definition, the purest form of Sunday Night Football porn. It was amazing. A crazy ends to the 1 o'clock games. Do the Patriots stink? I'm not quite sure. We are also talking about little Antonio Brown, like you said, and I'm bringing us back to Thursday to talk about the NFC East that nobody really cares about besides me. I'll show you. Welcome to the Dime Package presented by Owens Mixers. I'm your host, Fran, with the lovely Casey Smith. We're recording from home because guess what? It was Casey's birthday this weekend, and they had a ton of fun, so we got to record from our houses today.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a slow start this morning, but I had some friends fly in town to surprise me, which was very sweet. I'm not a big birthday person at all, so I usually tell my friends to not do anything for me, but they refused to listen to me this year. So I wanted to spend more time with them this morning. Yeah. So they're in my apartment and here I am talking to you.
And how many grapefruit lime Owen situations were there?
There were a lot, Fran, both Saturday and Sunday. I also did the cucumber one that you have been really high on. Oh yeah. I had never had it before this weekend. It's great. I drank all the vodka in New York City, to be completely honest. I drank it all, but shout out to Owens because it didn't feel like I was drinking all the vodka because it tastes so delicious. And then I woke up this morning and was like, I drank all the vodka in New York City.
Yep, exactly. But Owens makes it so easy to drink a high quality cocktail, just easy at home without having to mix it all yourself. It all comes in the bottle together. You just mix your favorite liquor. In Casey's case, that's vodka. And you are good to go. Always remember to try those transfusions. That's the Barstool Foreplay drink that they have come up with. Fantastic. Everything's available online at owensmixers.com. Use the promo code BARSTOOL15 for 15% off your purchase. Amazing Sunday of games. These games, we talked about it on Thursday. The slate was exciting and it paid off. These games were awesome. So much fun. But before we get into the games, I do have to mention that there is now a man walking around planet Earth with Casey Smith's face tattooed on his body. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter or on Instagram. Casey had reposted it, but this guy has a mural of Casey now tattooed on his body.
I don't even know what to say. I know that, first of all, it's like, it's flattering that someone thinks I'm cool enough to permanently ink my face on them. But the branding is what really stood out because it's not just my face. It is, so there's a hashtag Giggum across my forehead. Hello, Texas A&M. There's a High Noon written down my jawline, which, you know, I know that High Noon is like one of my biggest sponsors here. And then there is TB12 on iBlack. So this guy is really paying attention to what I like, and that is Texas A&M, that is High Noon, and that is Tom Brady. And I'll be honest, when Blattman sent it in the group text on Saturday, like we mentioned, I had a big night. I didn't really process it until yesterday. Yep. And Fran, you and I were texting about it. Like, I don't know if I should be flattered or creeped out or if I should – like, people are saying I might need a restraining order or if I should, like, marry this guy. I don't really know. Which one is it?
It's a very bizarre situation because, like you said, there is, like, a little bit of a mama, I made it moment because it's wow, I guess I'm getting enough recognition to be tattooed on someone. Like, that's normally reserved for pretty famous people. But on the other hand, it is – kind of extremely creepy. And he
said that with such a pause that like that's how he didn't really want to say it.
Right.
My mom, speaking of mom, I made it. Like, I actually made that joke. I sent it in my family text and I was like, Ma, I made it. And she didn't even care to talk about anything other than the fact that she swore it was like Photoshopped. And I kept saying, Mom, I don't know this person, but he's like doubling and tripling down on Twitter. I don't think that it's fake. And she was just appalled that anybody would get anybody's face tattooed on him. Like there was no like back and forth, like, Mom, look how kind of cool it is. She was like, no, I don't understand why anyone would defile their bodies with someone else's face. I was like, you know what? I really regret.
Right. This just came, turned into a conversation about tattoos in general.
Yeah. For what it's worth, he only has 4 tattoos on his body, or women's faces on his body. And you're one of the 4. I don't know who the other 3 are, but you're one of 4.
Miley Cyrus. Cause Fran sent this to me. It was Miley Cyrus, West Coast Chanel.
Yep. Chanel and I West Coast, and TBD who the last one is. It's a brunette with blue eyes, and it has like Icon on her forehead and then Brucey like on her face under her eye. I have no idea who it is.
We thought it might be Megan Fox, but all the things like
things don't make any sense.
Again, context clues from mine, A&M.
Yeah.
My biggest sponsor.
Like yours is right. And yours blatantly connects to you.
Yeah.
I didn't really get which that one was, but
yeah. Hey, listen, you know what? I guess Mive made it. I know I think he listens to this podcast. I think that's how he decided he wanted to do this. So, shout out you guy. I'm not going to say your name, 'cause I don't know if we should like flame you out, even though you're flaming yourself. Fran, I have somebody who's walking around with my face tattooed on them. I don't know if it's your arm or leg, whatever, but like shout out you, I guess.
Yep. Please.
If you are creepy, I don't want to die. If you're not creepy, thank you.
Yeah. That was said very sincerely. Okay. Let's get into our on-field five for this week, because these games, like I said, were fantastic. Each one better than the last. We'll start with some of the 1 o'clock games. The Steelers-Titans game, which kind of felt like maybe it was getting away from the Titans at the beginning a little bit, ended up being fantastic. The Steelers stay undefeated. The Titans get their first loss. They lost 27-24. It all came down to missed field goals. There were missed kicks left and right yesterday, and Gostkowski could not seal the deal for a 45-yard field goal to send it into overtime. He absolutely missed it.
How he just continued, because he's like a veteran kicker. You know, every time fantasy comes around for like, I feel like for like 25 years, it's like you want to draft Steven Gostkowski.
Yeah.
And it just seems like the more his career progresses, the worse he's getting. And when I saw them line up for that field goal yesterday, I just in my gut was like, he's going to miss this. And I know that it didn't come down to just that, because there were other mistakes the Titans made. Like you mentioned, they let the lead get away from them pretty early in the game. But you just simply cannot miss that field goal if you are a veteran NFL kicker to tie the game for your team. You just can't do it.
I know. And you're very right when you said as he's gotten older, it seems like he has regressed a little bit. Like he's not the kicker he used to be. There's been way more doubt in him these days. He's been missing these big kind of kicks. So you got to think that the Titans have to look at that position a little bit, because they've had this happen before with him, and they can't have any doubt in their kicker going forward at 5-1, really looking to compete, where they need a guy that they send out there for a 45-yard field goal and know that that is kind of an automatic thing. And it's not for him right now.
I mean, I know we're going to get to my guy TB12. Like, you know, some people just defy age. I get the fact that, you know, Tom Brady is an anomaly, but like Steven Gostkowski is a kicker, and I understand your body's probably going to get tired and whatever else, but it's not like you're asking him to go out there and air out the football. Like you cannot have a kicker in situations that you can't rely on, especially when the Titans look the way that they have. I mean, they went into that game yesterday, you know, them and the Steelers were the last two undefeated AFC teams, and they're looking at who could potentially, you know, go against the Chiefs for that conference. And I just, with the offense that they have, with the defense that they have in Tennessee, the fact that it comes down to special teams, when you have a guy like, that again, is a million-year veteran, it's just unacceptable.
Yep, absolutely. All right, and also, by the way, the Steelers looked so good. Like I'm very, they're playing the Ravens next week. That's going to be hopefully an awesome game. I think everybody's had a little bit of doubt in the Ravens right now because Lamar Jackson is just not really playing at the same caliber he was playing last season, but that should be a fantastic game. The second game, oh man, the Falcons. Oh. It's just, my heart breaks for these Atlanta Falcons fans out there because it is just incredible. You know, they're losing 16-14 at the end of the game. The Falcons drive down the field and Todd Gurley, instead of what he wanted to do was run out the clock. So he basically runs to the goal line, panics, realizes he shouldn't go all the way in for the touchdown, falls over, but still falls over on the goal line. So still scores a touchdown with a minute and 5 seconds left in the game. It was just incredible. They go for two, they get it. So they're up 22-16, but there's still a minute left in the game. And because of that, the Lions actually drive down the field. He had a couple awesome throws to Amendola and Galladay. And then with 2 seconds, throws a touchdown pass to TJ Hockenson. And that's it. Game over. Falcons lose.
The Falcons are at this point in some sort of weird atmosphere where it's like every way to lose – they're going to find it. It's like the NBA lottery balls. It's like, let's just see what comes out today, and that's the mistakes we're going to make. And what's so weird, Fran, is what you just described with Todd Gurley, he's in his career before purposely fallen down before the goal line, mm-hmm. and then, you know, all the betting in the betting world, people freaked out. Dave Portnoy was going to, like, kill him over it. Like, he actually asked him in person, like, remember when you screwed me over on that over? It's not like Todd Gurley doesn't know what to do in those situations.
Yeah.
And it was so weird to just kneel the ball a couple times and then just kick a field goal. Like, again, it's like you're at home screaming at your TV if you're an Atlanta fan. Like, what are you doing? How are we all seeing this, but you don't? And it just shows, again, the Atlanta Falcons are cursed. They're just cursed. It doesn't matter what the atmosphere that they're living in, the ether hates them, whatever it is, the Atlanta Falcons are going to find ways to lose.
I know. And so many of these games really came down to the last minute. Which was what made them all so exciting, obviously. And seeing this happen like this was similar to kind of what went down in the Bengals Browns game, which we'll talk about. But these drives that were put together at the end of games have been fantastic. I don't know what defenses were just getting torched. On these last minute drives of these games, it's like you said, it's impossible really to fathom how this can keep happening to one team. The Falcons really should have just had that in the bag, and
they had it, Fran. They had it. I mean, again, no good at math here, but I know that 3 points would have won that game. And it's not hard to just run the clock down and then kick a field goal instead of giving a quarterback and Matthew Stafford time to drive down the field. I mean, he's a guy that you look at and you say, he's never won a Super Bowl, but he's definitely up there in the conversation for the top quarterbacks in the league. You just simply cannot give him that much time. And then on the flip side of it, it's like Atlanta. Don't you want to win a football game? Like, I know they won last week, but that was kind of like, that almost like made it worse for them because now they're not the worst team in the league. I just don't know what's going on in Atlanta. I don't know if you clean house completely, like if you get rid of Matt Ryan. I don't know what you do, but you've got to do something because let me just put it this way. The Dallas Cowboys beat you, Atlanta. You should be ashamed of yourselves because the Dallas Cowboys beat you because of that awful onside kick. Like if Dallas is beating you this year, you have a problem.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? On the flip side of this, it could only happen against the Falcons. The Lions, you don't normally see that kind of ending for the Lions. So I'm sure Detroit fans were absolutely ecstatic that was, you know, a very exciting game for them. I feel like Lions fans are normally on the other side of those situations.
Oh, yeah.
So it was nice to see them. Yeah, yeah. They're normally on the, you know, the Falcons side of the situation, but they were playing the Falcons. So one of them had that kind of play, and it wasn't going to be the Falcons.
Atlanta is going to continue to Atlanta. And honestly, I'm kind of excited to see how this continues to fold out, because it's going to be like, they're going to run out of options on how to fuck up. Like, I'm excited to see how Atlanta loses games in December,
right?
Because it's not even, it's like a survivor pool. They're not even making the same mistakes. It's a new, different kind of
thing
every single week. So let's keep it going, Atlanta. Give us, and you know, thank God I'm not an Atlanta fan, because after the Braves got bounced the way they did, it's just, if you're an Atlanta sports fan right now, I'm sorry.
It is tough. It is tough. The next game, also maybe some, there's a switch happening right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it was a couple bad games, but the Patriots look bad. Yeah. Now, they lost 33-6 to the Niners. They're now 2-4. Cam Newton really stunk it up. He got benched in the third quarter. It's not looking good for Cam right now.
Not great, Fran. And I know, you know, I was hearing people discuss, could he potentially be kind of having a COVID hangover? And I know he came out, I believe it was early this morning, if not late last night, and said that that's just not what it is, that he just needs to play better. But what really is interesting watching the Patriots right now is what was happening before they signed Cam Newton. And I keep going back to this because we heard all offseason, once Tom Brady decided to go to Tampa Bay, that they really believed in Jarrett Stidham. I don't know what they were seeing that I didn't see when he was playing in college, but who am I to tell Bill Belichick what to do? Going into yesterday's game, not only did you have the dynamic of you sign Cam Newton on a one-year deal, Jarrett Stidham has stunk both times he's been in.
Yeah.
The guy that you drafted to take over for Tom Brady is on the flip side of things, and Jimmy Garoppolo has not been playing like lights out. We talked a couple weeks ago about how he might be bent. Yeah. And you still go out and you let that team humiliate you. It's not even like it was a close game and Jimmy played just well enough to win. Like, they stomped you.
Crushed him. And Belichick said at the end of the game, he was like, we got outplayed in every single sense of the game. And even this Patriots defense that is, you know, the number one defense in the league last year they gave up 467 yards to the Niners. So not only was Jimmy Garoppolo playing well, I mean, he did throw two picks, but their run game was great. They let up a lot of yards rushing, and the Niners are playing without Raheem Mostert, without Tevin Coleman. You know, it was Jeff Wilson Jr. out there, had three touchdowns before he got hurt. So every aspect of the game, they got outplayed. Even after, you know, Cam Newton was asked what the problem was, he said, me not playing good. He was right. He definitely, you know, the offense starts with him, and he was really not playing well. 9 for 15, 98 yards total is just pretty embarrassing.
It's so bad. And I know, you know, it looked early in the season, especially that first game, that it was like, oh, Bill Belichick's done it again. He's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers or whatever the cliche thing is.
Yeah.
And I know that the Patriots have dealt with Corona issues. We know that Cam Newton was out. But if you look at the last 2 weeks for the New England Patriots, it is night and day different from what we've seen over the last 20 years. And guess why? Because Tom Brady is not there. And I know that right now we're not even midway through the season yet. And I know I'm going to just go off later on Bruce Arians. He's back at it again.
Yeah.
But it's early enough, and I understand things can get turned around. But right now where we sit through October the 26th, it is very clear to me that Tom Brady is going to win this outcome. And all those idiots that said he was just a system quarterback, well, the system is failing New England right now. And you have Cam Newton. It's not some schmuck out there. Now, Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, probably schmucks. But Cam Newton is a pretty damn good quarterback, and they're getting shellacked by the 49ers and then lost to the Broncos last week.
Yep, and you mentioned it. I can just quickly toss it in because it was honestly A game not worth talking about too much. The Bucks absolutely spanked the Raiders. So it was, 45-20, another huge win by Tampa Bay, putting up a lot of points just like last week. So things are
going well for
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. No, I got a text message yesterday from one of my friends who works for the Cowboys. And he was like, I'm so sorry we couldn't get you a win on your birthday. And then he said, so sorry the Patriots couldn't get you a win on your birthday. And then he just sent me a really hot picture of Tom Brady. And I was like, listen, Tom Brady, he just surpassed Drew Brees as the all-time leader in touchdowns in the NFL history. He had 5 touchdowns yesterday. And to see the stat line for Tom Brady in Tampa and then the Patriots quarterbacks yesterday, it's horrific for New England. Yep. It really is.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. We're now talking about the Bengals and the Browns. Didn't think we would be talking about this game on Monday, but honestly, this game was super exciting. It was a 37-34 win for the Browns. It was another kind of heartbreak situation because it very similar things going on, with a lot of very similar scores and whatnot. But these teams, the Bengals had the ball at the end of the fourth, like 5-ish minutes left. They were down 31-27. Joe Burrow puts together a beautiful drive. The Bengals offense, they get in the end zone. You know, Bernard scores a touchdown with a minute six seconds left to go up. But who'd have thunk, you give the ball back to Baker Mayfield, and with another 1 minute drive to close the game, is able to go downfield, score a touchdown. He had a great pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones, and they win the game with 11 seconds left to final, like I said, 37-34. This is why it's so confusing in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, because you know he has the potential. Now, yeah, I understand they're playing the Bengals, and the Bengals' record shows what kind of team they are. However, they have been competing, I think, at a little bit of a higher level, despite what their record says. And the Browns can see what – the glimpses of greatness that Baker Mayfield has. But then there's also games when you're like, oh my God, like, is Baker the guy? I don't know. And, you know, I feel that. Like, I feel like it's sometimes a very similar situation with Carson Wentz of, like, you see the greatness, but can he consistently put it together? Baker did it yesterday. He really did.
But Fran, he early in that game, it's like he had both Bakers out there yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know that he was short-lived, but I think he started like 0-5 with an interception, and the internet went ablaze and was talking all this shit about Baker Mayfield, the same thing. And then I think he has 21 straight completions, obviously put together, you know, the game-winning drive. Yep. And you're just like, what is this guy? We can't figure it out. I was excited going into this game because the Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, you know, college football guys matching up. And first of all, Joe Burrow is going to be one hell of an NFL.
Oh my God. Burrow threw for 406 yards yesterday.
He's on track.
Granted, he threw 47 passes. Like, he completed 35 passes, but threw 47. That's
still a high number.
A lot. Again,
no good at math, but the percentage is there.
Yeah.
I guess that.
Like,
Joe Burrow right now looks like he could be a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I know that's a little bit dramatic to say in his rookie season, but what he's doing, if he was on a better team, like, granted, again, like, I love Joe Burrow, so I know I'm going to always root for him. But Baker Mayfield is one of those, like, I wanted him to be good. I wanted the Browns to be good because I think it's an interesting storyline. But it's almost like when they get put in these places of high hype, they always fall flat on their face. And I understand they were just playing Cincinnati, but yesterday was the moment where you're like, no, wait a minute. Like, Baker does have that spark that he might have had the whole time that hasn't shown. I don't know. Like, the Colin Cowers of the world are probably losing their mind today. Like, oh, well, it's just Cincinnati. I don't care. Baker Mayfield looked good yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it's Cincinnati, like, things should be better than what they are. You know, like, it's you look at their roster and you see the guys they have and you're like, why is this not working? Now, the, you know, the defensive side of the ball is not fantastic, but now with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins looks awesome. Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, like A.J. Green's definitely struggling, but Joe Mixon, like this, and Joe's hurt right now, but it should produce kind of a high power offense, which I think when Joe Burrow is clicking, you can see that. Mm-hmm. And it makes the Bengals right now, despite the record, a pretty fun team to watch. So I don't know. This was an exciting game. It came down to the end. And if anything, I hope it gives Bengals fans just like hope of how great Joe Burrow can be. You know, when once they get everything else figured out and tightened up, like Joe Burrow is.
You think the girl that listens to us out there that has Joe Burrow as the background of her Apple Watch, you think she was excited yesterday? I mean, granted, they didn't win, but I mean, watching Joe Burrow play yesterday was one hell of a time.
It definitely was. And then a little bit of a bad beat situation. It was funny that, unfortunately for, you know, those gamblers out there, that after the Browns scored, they missed the point after attempt. And it, I believe the line was Browns -3.5 and they won by 3. So,
yeah, I had the Browns -3.5. I was not happy when I was recording my college podcast as that was happening. And I came out and I saw it happen. I was like, really? On my fucking birthday.
Yeah.
These special teams. But, you know, and I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but also bad luck, bad beat. Found out this morning, Odell Beckham tore his ACL.
Yeah.
No good.
Super unfortunate that he tore his ACL because it was like after an interception, and it was just kind of like a weird play where you're like not actually on offense anymore and got tangled up, and that it's just that's tough for OBJ. Definitely a big loss for the Browns going forward. So we'll see what happens. The last game,
woo, buddy,
was an absolute just batshit crazy game. This game was drunk off their ass. Like this game, this was a game you watched where you're like afterwards, you need a cigarette. And I have never smoked a cigarette before in my entire life. It's like, you know, you're like a woo, like, geez, it was absolutely crazy. It was a Seahawks Cardinals Sunday night football game. The Cardinals end up getting the win 37-34 in overtime after just some absolute madness. We can't even really touch on everything that happened in the game because it was really insane. Between like pretty uncharacteristic interceptions from Russell Wilson and missed field goals and everything. But this overtime, I thought could have potentially ended in a tie, which would have been something, because with about two-ish minutes left, the Cardinals were in the Seahawks territory and were cruising. They were okay. It seemed like, you know, we'll kick the field goal. We'll be good. And I feel like Cliff had a panic moment because Kyler Murray had got tackled for a loss. I think they were like, oh shit, we can't move backwards. There's two-ish minutes left. Let's just kick the field goal now and end the game and win. And instead of continuing to run the clock out and keep going, they do kick the field goal. Zane Gonzalez misses the field goal, gives the ball back to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson throws an interception, which was insane. They give the ball back to the Cardinals, and they get back into field goal range. And then they give Zane an extra try there to win, and he hits it. He makes a little bit of a redemption kick. But the first field goal was funny too because Cliff kind of iced his own kicker.
He absolutely iced his own kicker on second down.
Yeah, Yeah, the play clock ran out. He didn't realize he called a timeout after he already kicked the field goal. First one went in, so he really did ice his kicker.
You nailed it that the game was drunk off its ass. Also, like, you know, it's now become a thing. Like, that was true Sunday night football porn. And yep. I've never smoked a cigarette either, Fran, but I was sitting there with you, like, back in the old days, you just start smoking after something like that. Yep. I could not get enough of this football game. I didn't want it to end. I loved the mayhem. And watching Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, wasn't successful at Texas Tech. He wasn't awful, but he was.
Yeah.
They did fire him. And then everybody freaked out. Like, oh, my God, now he's going to be a head coach in the NFL. He, like, had a couple successful years as a coordinator and then a head coach in college. Watching him make that decision was like, oh, Cliff, what are you doing, honey? Like, what? Why kicking on second down? And I understand it was overtime. I understand there was a little bit of a panic moment. But, again, you just can't script these things. You don't kick a field goal on second down in overtime when you can just run it a few more plays, just get a couple more yards, and kick it on fourth like you normally would.
I'm with you. It was a panic call. Like, it was a total, like, we can't move backwards. Let's just go out there and end it. But it was just a really fun back and forth. You know, we talked last week about the Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson comparisons, and it did feel like Russ was out there. You know, he's running the ball. It felt like he was kind of trying to make a statement. And I mean, Tyler Lockett, if you have him on your fantasy team, congratulations. If you played against him like I did, super unfortunate.
Very.
He had like 53 fantasy points. He had an obscene amount of yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, it was really just so I'll find the full let's see. It was real, like, his full stat line must have ended up being absolutely insane in the game. Yeah. 15.
Sorry for your bad luck, Fran.
And it sucks because you know that always happens when your team is, like, playing really well, right? Like, yes. This is the you know, league with my friends, and it's just like, really? I'm going to score the second highest amount of points out of everyone and still lose?
It's the worst. Yeah. Like, and that's how the cookie crumbles with fantasy all the time, which is why I don't play anymore. I lose enough money gambling.
Yeah.
But I did notice that yesterday. I was like, oh, shit, if you've got him on your team. But you mentioned it with Russell Wilson. So first of all, we've talked about that offense all year and how, like, they've really been clicking. And he made some mistakes that are uncharacteristic. But it's not that offense that's weird to me. The Seahawks defense has regressed. And I know that, you know, they've had such a great defense for a while. But, I mean, just the fact that, like, Kyler Murray, who, you know, it did play very well, but the fact that he didn't get a lot of pressure on him for most of that game is not a good sign of that Seahawks defense.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett finished with 15 catches for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Casual day. The office.
Just super casual. And then I also want to say that I have watched it like 15 times now. The DK Metcalf chase down on Buda Baker was unbelievable. They said that I think they clocked him at like 22 miles an hour. Was that correct? Like, what? Are you kidding me? And it wasn't even like, you couldn't tell watching it live. You had to watch the play over again to realize where DK was when Buda started running down the sideline. He was in like the middle of the field. He crossed over and he just went wheels because you could see Russell Wilson attempt to chase after him. And Russell was like, oh, I'm not doing this. Like, he gave up like halfway and was like, oh, okay. DK did not. It was insane. And they still ended up losing. So it is what it is. But that still saved points. Like, it was really just an absolutely incredible play. And honestly, now it's going to become a meme used forever. But
I mean, and it's not like Buda Baker is a slow person either. It's not like he was like chasing down, you know, a defensive lineman or something. Like,
no,
he's an incredibly incredibly fast athlete. And he looked like he had never run in his life when DK Metcalf got to him. And I don't know if it was like transformer mode. I don't know what DK Metcalf has that nobody else has, but it's perfect on. And I saw somebody on Twitter, like, comparing it to the guy in Happy Gilmore, you know, like the massive guy that, like, just starts running really fast. Like, that's, it felt like he was a different, like, species of human yesterday.
Yeah.
And again, like, I can't stress this enough. And just like you said, Brandon, if you haven't watched it, it's not even just impressive how fast, it's how he dusts everybody.
Everyone.
There. And he just doesn't even look like he's the same type of human being as Buda Baker. And Buda Baker is an incredibly fast football player. He wasn't chasing Blattman down. No offense, Blattman, but it's not like he was chasing you down. That was
an unnecessary ricochet shot.
Well, I, you know, you're the only male on this podcast, so I felt like, you know, you were the good comparison here.
Correct. Fair, I guess. Yeah, it really was insane. I feel like everybody besides Seattle fans were kind of rooting for the Cardinals here. It just felt like that kind of game, and they're really just so fun to watch. Like, I have, even from last season too, I've just really enjoyed watching the Cardinals play football. Like, it's just, it's fun to watch them. Kyler Murray is super fun to watch. Now you got DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk and everyone playing at a high level. So it's exciting. That was a huge win for the Cardinals. Huge.
Did you see the clip of Kyler Murray where they slowed it down and you can see he sees DeAndre Hopkins in one-on-one and he's just smiling while he's throwing the ball? Like, that to me, like, talks about, like, that shows you why people are talking about the Cardinals, because they're just so much fun. But that Kyler Murray, you know, just cockiness that you saw, and things move so fast in any type of football, but let alone where he's playing right now in the NFL. And to know that he saw it that clearly and could smile is, I mean, those are things you want to see. Like, again, if you're a Seahawks fan today, sorry for your bad luck, but that game was so awesome. NFL overtime rules stink. They need to change them because, you know, Fran, you said it before we started recording. Yeah.
This game could have, college football rules, this game would have been gone on forever. It's been amazing. It's on
right now. We would have woken up this morning and they would still have been playing that game.
It would have been fantastic. Yeah, you know, I people complain about the overtime rules all the time. I also don't like them. Like, I'll just, you know, join the majority of the group. I just don't really think that, I don't know. I don't find it fair, I guess is the right word. I don't know. That it comes down to, a lot of the times, just comes down to the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win it and you score a touchdown, and whatever, you can argue it for both ways. I think it would be way more fun if they did something more similar to college, because college overtime is always ridiculously exciting. And why not, like, have that in the NFL? I don't really see why, whatever. It would just be more exciting. It absolutely would.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I will say that, like, the fact that Russell Wilson was in a position to where he could have won that game and they gave the Cardinals three chances in overtime is just not something that I would have expected. Not something I would have scripted out for Russell Wilson.
Definitely not. Well, you know what, Casey? It's like, you know, Monday morning sometimes can be tough. I know you said that you had a nice weekend, but you look good and it seems like you're feeling pretty good right now. And if you also kind of want that Monday, avoid the Sunday scaries, if you're drinking, watching football, the best way to go about your Monday is to make sure you have the DHM detox. It's the vitamin for people who, you know, like to enjoy a few drinks. All you have to do is take two capsules after your first couple of drinks and it goes to work. Kind of sounds like a perfect situation for someone who likes to have a couple drinks while watching football. Couldn't be me.
I tried them this weekend for the first time. And I think that's why I am happy this morning. Because again, like, I, you know, as a football fan, Saturdays and Sundays, like, I'm sitting in front of a TV. I'm sitting in front of multiple TVs. I'm having a lot of drinks back-to-back days. And this detox has helped me because, like, there's no shot I'm just not going to drink, Fran. So I'm going to have to just add them to it. And so it helps me to feel better.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. DHM Detox uses science to help boost your body's natural response to alcohol and hype. And to help break down those toxins. They're very conveniently packaged, like we had said. They've also launched a hydration replenisher, which is a watermelon lemonade electrolyte drink mix to help you rehydrate, which also is fantastic. If you haven't tried that, I feel like sometimes that can be a total lifesaver. So right now, No Days Wasted offers a risk-free purchase. So if you don't love it, they'll refund you on your first box. We've got you 20% off your order and free shipping in the U.S. Just head over to nodayswasted.co. That's No Days Wasted to get their DHM Detox. nodayswasted.co and use promo code DIME at checkout. That's nodayswasted.co, C-O. Casey, we're going to talk about this just like very briefly, because I think it's interesting to see what's kind of going on in Dallas, because it's bad. It's real bad. They lost to the Washington football team. They got absolutely crushed by the Washington football team, to be honest. Andy Dalton got drilled. It was a dirty hit. It was bad, a bad play. We're worried for Andy Dalton. He got hit by John Bostic. John Bostic was ejected. And I think the real problem here is kind of what Mike McCarthy had said after the game, that it was concerning that your quarterback gets hit like that and nobody did anything. Nobody went after John Bostic. Nobody really like – and it just – when your head coach is saying that, you know that there is a major, major problem in this locker room right now. We talked about this before. There's really not a leader on this team anymore without Dak. And they look like chickens running around with their heads chopped off.
They are so bad. And you're absolutely right. The fact that nobody wanted to make any type of noise after that, because it was a dirty hit and everybody knew it. I mean, again, if you're watching that game, you know it was a dirty hit. And then to know that
it's not Dak, but it's still your quarterback right now.
Right. I was going to say, you know that if that was Dak Prescott, a fight would have broken out. No doubt. Yeah. But it's still your quarterback. They just don't – none of them seem to give a shit. And then, of course, you know, we'll see if Andy Dalton is cleared out of concussion protocol for next week. But, you know, that's first and foremost. Like, that sucks that he got hit and no one cared. If you ask me, you put a gun to my head and said, what happens if Dak Prescott gets hurt and Andy Dalton gets hurt? You have to name who the third guy is going to be. Call me dead. I don't even remember his name right now because I'm blanking. Like when they tried that guy out there, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Who is this?
Ben DiNucci?
DiNucci. Then I start realizing like he backed up Nathan Peterman at one point. Like he was a backup to Nathan Peterman. Like who is this person? You are the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, he played James Madison. Like this, like we're reaching. We're reaching.
He was a seventh round draft pick. I had to like Google him. I was like, I watch a lot of football. I am a Dallas Cowboys person. Like how do I not know who this is gonna be? And I understand, you know, they never in a million years thought they would even have to get to a third stringer.
Yeah.
But it is professional football. Things do happen. Injuries are always a big time deal, but let alone in this year, there's just been a lot of weird, weird injuries with shortened training camps and everything.
Andy Dalton is no spring chicken. I'm making a lot of chicken references to the Cowboys right now, but Andy Dalton, like you have to kind of worry about a guy like Andy Dalton being out there and playing. You need somebody, but you need somebody to back him up.
And I'm Mike McCarthy, very clearly, first year, you know, it's not his fault Dak got hurt, but bro, you've got to figure some shit out. Because like you just said, like, no one seems to want to play. They're not some, I mean, the Washington football team, Washington football team. Like, it's humiliating for the Dallas Cowboys. And if Dak Prescott, and I mean, I thought about this yesterday, and I understand, like, you know, Dak loves Dallas, Dak wants to stay, or so he says.
Yeah.
If I'm Dak Prescott right now and I'm sitting back watching this unfold, realizing that they could franchise tag me for another year or I could become a free agent depending on what happens contractually, I don't know if I want to go back to Dallas right now because it's clearly, clearly a problem.
Yeah, and we are going to have an absolute 180 flip next Sunday night when it's the Eagles Cowboys playing on Sunday Night Football, and not what we got to experience last night. So really, we're all blessed with that one. Really blessed. Okay. The next thing I want to mention, I really only want to touch on it because the Panthers-Saints game, it was a great game. It was super exciting. It was basically everything we thought it was going to be. But boy, were we right when we said that the line was a little wild, because shout out to the Panthers recovering. That's really all that I'm going to say.
Yeah, we got some credit on that on Twitter. You know, shout out to us for not telling people to maybe bet against the spread, but shout out us for definitely not betting against that spread.
Definitely not. Yeah, definitely not.
A lot of money on that, and it worked out nicely.
Absolutely. There was some big news surrounding Antonio Brown this week. He has signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, Bruce Arians spoke on it, and I will leave the floor to Casey. The only thing that I will say about this is I'm very hesitant on what this is going to become. You know, Bruce Arians said what he said about Tom, but he also said, you know, they are looking for somebody to come in who is a high caliber player who, if there are injuries, can step into that role. Because, you know, he talked about last season with Mike Evans and Godwin getting hurt and them not really having any solid options. And that also right now, these guys, he said, were playing at around like 80%. They've been battling with injuries all season long. I just don't know how Antonio Brown handles not being like the top guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that it works out. We have seen that kind of spot not work with him and the way, you know, he thinks of himself. So this very well could end in a disaster. It might not, but you're taking on that risk now anytime you put Antonio Brown on your team. So saying that, I will now give the floor to Casey, who has some thoughts about this statement from her guy, Big Bruce Arians.
Big Bruce, yeah. No, he definitely, you know, last week I did my rant on Trevor Lawrence, which I stand by. But Bruce, he only took 1 week off. You know, he's a buffoon, yep. He's a clown. Now, before I get into my rant, so Blackman, don't start the clock yet. I will say, shout out, speaking of our guy Deion Sanders, who was on the show with us last week because he crashed. And he, you know, he's very close to Antonio Brown. And, you know, he had that awesome quote where he said, you know, you don't want anybody to remember the past. You want everybody to forget about the past and move on from it. And he said something along the lines of, you know, you don't want football to divorce you. You want to be able to divorce football. And so Antonio Brown has had a lot of chances. And, you know, I look back now and I always gave Mike Tomlin kind of the blame for the way that the Steelers organization seemed like it was being run. And now you look at what was going on with Le'Veon Bell behind the scenes. You look at what was happening with Antonio Brown. Like, maybe it wasn't Mike Tomlin. Maybe it was really just a bunch of divas in the locker room. So, Blattman, start the clock. I get it. It's Antonio Brown. Like Fran said, tons of issues. He's had a million chances, and it just doesn't seem to pan out. Bruce Arians, in this March of 2020, Fran, just a few months ago, came out and said, listen, I don't think that Antonio Brown fits our culture in here. Fair. I understand why you would think that. Says, you know, we're not going to sign him. It's not a money issue, whatever else. Like, he just doesn't fit. And then all week last week, everyone keeps bringing up these quotes and saying, well, you know, you said you were never going to sign him. And then now he's here. And call me crazy. Call me a little bit nuts here. The quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers happens to be Tom Brady, the best quarterback in NFL history. Also, last year, whenever Antonio Brown was with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady seemed to be a very much like, I want to give this guy another chance. They seem like they got along. They were doing the whole like bromance, passing the football at some ranch type of shit together. And Bruce Arians comes out and he is asked about Antonio Brown. And he said, Tom had nothing to do with this. This is something that I have been talking about for some time. Do you think Bruce Arians thought one person on planet Earth would believe that? One person, you're trying to tell me, Bruce, that just like 6 months ago, you're talking about how he doesn't fit in the locker room. Well, guess what was not in your locker room like 6 months ago? Tom Brady. Of course Tom Brady has something to do with it. I don't understand how – it's like Bruce Arians doesn't want Tom Brady on his team. He had 5 touchdowns yesterday. He surpassed Drew Brees, like I said, to become the NFL leading touchdown. Bruce, it's okay to admit that people want to play for Tom Brady or with Tom Brady. Bruce, it's okay to admit that you have the best quarterback of all time on your team, and of course that's going to sway decisions. What's the point here? What's the point? Not one single person would look at this Antonio Brown signing after everything that AB has been through, after every chance he's gotten, and he just happens to end up on a team with Tom Brady. No shit.
Right.
He's the reason. No shit. And my time is up. Blattman's doing the throat slash.
Yep.
I really honestly think that Bruce, I mean, and I've had my like spin zones with Bruce Arians because like I'm obviously, yeah, you know, I'm going to always stand up for Tom Brady. This is just stupid. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
It's at this point, I almost feel like he does it on purpose. Like, it's just like all one big goof. Like, it's just like, I'm not going to tell you guys anything.
Like, he wants to, you know, the Andrew Luck take, which is still one of the, yeah, wildest takes I've ever heard. You know, and I know Tom Brady's 43 years old. So like the fact that he's been in the league for a billion years, like now he's the all-time passing touchdown leader. Like that's, yeah, that makes sense. It's Tom Brady. But to say that a guy who is trying to prove that he belongs back in the league and deserves a yet another chance wasn't swayed at all that Tom Brady is throwing him the football is an asinine thing to say. It's just simply, yep, insane. And no, I don't believe that he actually believes that. If he actually believes that, they should kick him out of the league. They should kick him out. Roger Goodell, you make a lot of really fucking stupid decisions. If Bruce Arians, yeah, would rather have Andrew Luck as his quarterback and doesn't think Tom Brady had anything to do with Antonio Brown signing in Tampa Bay, I think he might need to go to a mental institution.
Got to get checked.
Got it. Something's wrong up in the dome.
Got to get checked. All right. I'm going to take us back to a few days ago when Thursday night football occurred and the Philadelphia Eagles played the New York Giants. They pull off a victory, 22-21. To be honest, it's really something that is ridiculous now that I have to care so much about this division that sucks so bad. But it's like I'm so invested in these two win teams that it's crazy. The Eagles right now are still in first place thanks to that tie. We're playing the Cowboys next week, but these teams just stink. It's really a battle of like when they play, who stinks less? And at this point in time, the Eagles stunk less on Thursday night. They were down 21-10 with like 5 minutes left. It was a disaster. I was watching with my I can't even speak. Rhea will attest to this. She watched with me and my brother and my sister. And she was like, you guys need to fucking relax. Like, she's like, I don't know. She decided that not caring about sports is just a much easier way to live your life. And it absolutely is. Like, my brother, we're down 21-10. My brother's like, I got to go home. I can't be here anymore. I got to work tomorrow. The other thing. They put together, you know, the end of the game. They end up pulling off the win. And we're like, oh, you got to go home. You know, you got work tomorrow. Like, he's like, oh, no. I'll come with you. Take Norman for a walk. Like, I'll go. It's just so sad how much these teams have an effect on your mental state and your mood. And Rhea was checking my pulse. She was like, do I need to call an ambulance? Like, why are you this stressed out about this game right now? They put together a drive to score a touchdown to go. It was 21-16. No, you're cutting me off and I'm not done yet. I'm just not done yet.
You're just trying so hard to get your attention and you're like, no, fuck you. I'm getting back if you're not in this.
Yep. There was a pretty shitty two-point conversion attempt. I'm still a little iffy with Doug's play calling. I don't really know what's going on. It feels conservative, which whatever, it is what it is. The Eagles got very, very lucky because, like I said, they're playing teams that stink. They're playing the Giants. Evan Engram drops a ball that is perfectly placed in his hands. He just had to reach out and grab it off the tip of his fingertips, which gives the ball back to the Eagles. They had a two-minute drive. We got Richard Rodgers out there making great catches because we got no tight ends. You know, Goddard's hurt. Ertz is hurt. Miles Sanders isn't playing. And they get all the way down to almost the goal line, and Jason Kelce gets called for a personal foul, 15-yard penalty face mask. They move backwards, and I was like, oh, this has got disaster written all over it. They were right there. Now they move back. And Carson threw a fade to the shortest fucking guy on the field, and he catches it right in the, you know, front corner of the end zone. They end up winning by 1 point. It's a sad reality of where this team is, because it's like all these teams still have the potential to win this division. And what's going to suck is if the Eagles lose this division and they're in this like no man's land of like 5 wins.
Ugh.
And you're not really setting yourself up in the draft, or they didn't really make any moves, and now you're just kind of stuck in this mediocrity. So
the NFC East confirmed bad.
Oh God, it's just so ugly. Bad.
Ugly.
I can't believe Sunday Night Football is Eagles Cowboys. Like, how are we not? How are we not in the? I know. How are we not in the point of the season where games can get flexed? Are we not? Can we not do that? Like, what? That feels like that should be swapped out.
Yeah, they should. Again, Roger Goodell, get your shit together. Please don't make my Sunday night stink.
They should just be Thursday night football games. They should just all be Thursday night football games.
NFC East just all like it, as long as there's a team on Thursday night, I'm good. Sunday night football.
Just have them play on a different day.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it.
Yeah. All right. We are phenomenally over our time today. It's just there's so much good football. I don't know what to say. I can't. It is what it is. The Monday Night Football game is Bears Rams. I'm rolling with Nick Foles. I'm hoping the Bears pull this off just for the sake of Nick Foles.
Going with Chicago, baby. Nick Foles, and then that defense is playing very high caliber.
Yep. Okay, that wraps it up. Thanks everyone for listening. Get yourself an Owens Mixers, and we will see you all on Thursday. I'll show you.